Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Lisa Feely, Chief Financial Officer at USAID. Also joining us in our conversation is Lori Feller. Lisa, we understand that USAID is facing a critical shortfall in operating costs. Why is this, and how is this affecting USAID's planning for the coming 5 years?
Well, it's not just USAID. I believe all agencies are facing some critical junctures as far as having their budgets reduced. We at USAID have a separate budget for our operating expenses, so it's particularly problematic because although we have our programs increasing in size, and oftentimes that's not an anticipated thing. I mean, we have a situation in Iraq. We have situations in Afghanistan, the Pakistan earthquake, things that you can't anticipate, but obviously your program funds start going through the roof and you don't have the commensurate operating monies to support those programs. So it's very, very problematic. I mean, we're doing a lot of things to try to cope with it. We're continually in the process of trying to improve our program operations, to reduce costs, to look for new ways to leverage technology. And over a 5-year period, we hope to, at some point, you hope to start graduating countries so that once countries are in a situation where they're graduated, then you don't have the continual programs without the commensurate operating monies to support it. But, I mean, that's a lot of what we're looking towards now is sort of a transformational development process where we're trying to get countries to move on to help themselves.
Aside from the funding, what are some of the other global changes that will impact the strategy of USAID in the coming years?
Well, sort of an unanticipated impact. Some are humanitarian and healthcare needs, the avian flu, for instance. I mean, we're gearing up for that, and there are a lot of unknowns around that. The HIV/AIDS is a big program. Some of the, as I said, unknowns. I mean, you don't know what kind of natural disaster can occur, but you always have to be ready to jump in there. The transformational development that that we're moving more towards, and we have now the Millennium Challenge, which is actually focused towards that as well, taking countries that have proven themselves against various criteria and trying to put our funding towards those countries to actually see the effects of change and to be able to have countries take it on themselves, help themselves, if you will. Worldwide security is another thing that is impacting our delivery systems, the terrorism and wars. I mean, a lot of stuff that cannot be anticipated, but that in the coming years will obviously affect our strategy. And our strategy has to be flexible. We have to be able to accommodate unknowns and unanticipated events.
And so we talk with many of our guests about the impact of the pending wave of government retirement. Is this an issue for USAID, and how is USAID planning to address this concern?
Well, Lori, this is a huge issue for the federal government. You're hitting it in every agency, and we have actually dealt with it by employing a lot of personal service contractors, which we send out to our missions, reemploy foreign service officers who have retired. I don't necessarily think this is the answer because eventually people will retire forever, and you can't always count on that. I think where the federal government has maybe made a mistake is that there's a void in there. I mean, there was a time when you had a lot of young people coming into the federal government where you had a very secure retirement system. That changed from the civil service to a different type of system that relied on Social Security, and I think there was a void that was actually occurred during that time. And there was a point in time where you didn't get the younger folks coming into the federal government. And that is actually coming to pass right now. I mean, you're having a lot of folks that are going to be retiring in the next 3 to 5 years, and you don't have a commensurate number of folks that came in that can take those places. I mean, obviously, we're outsourcing a lot of the functions that can be outsourced, but there are a lot of key functions that the federal government can't outsource and shouldn't outsource. And in that situation, you have to have people on board to run the programs. We bring in new employees every year. We have classes. But with the budget as it is, we may have to actually cut one of our classes this year. So as much as we're trying to deal with this, I think it's a broader issue that needs to be dealt with on the federal government level, not as an agency-by-agency issue.
Lisa, it dawned on me that we spent a fair amount of time talking about the systems within USAID and the Phoenix Project. How do you collaborate with the CIO shop within USAID, and how will this collaboration work in the future?
Actually, we have a very good working relationship between the CFO's office and the CIO office. And it's actually a very close relationship, and that could be as a result of the fact that we're implementing a financial system now. And it's a different paradigm than you may see at some other agencies. Oftentimes, you may have a CIO shop implementing any type of IT system. There's sort of two schools of thought on that. Some would say that the customer, the CFO, if it's a financial system, should be the lead. Some would say that the CIO with the technical expertise and the CFO should be a customer. The paradigm that we selected at USAID of having the chief financial officer run the project with the support of the CIO has worked immensely well. We have very good cooperation. We have folks from the IT organization working on the project. We have contractors. We have our own CFO folks. So I see partnering. I mean, there are other systems that are being implemented at USAID right now. We have new procurement systems. We have data warehouse that we're actually implementing. But what we're trying to do in our case is take the support of the CIO's office and work as a team. And the paradigm has worked very well for us. It's not to say that every project should be implemented in a fashion of having the customer do it, but it's worked very well for us.
Excellent. Lisa, you've had a long and successful career spanning several organizations and roles. What advice could you give a person who's interested in a career in public service?
Well, I would say, come on. I mean, it has been a wonderful career for me. I mean, I sort of fell into it. My intention was never to necessarily work for the federal government. But as one thing happened, I ended up here. I ended up staying here. And I don't regret it for a minute. It's a very rewarding career. And I think you'll find that you're able to control things and be responsible for areas that possibly in private industry at certain levels you would never believe that you could do that. It's challenging. It's tough now. I mean, we're facing a lot of shortfalls and budget crunch and folks not coming to backfill, but the challenge makes it all the more fun.
That's great. We've reached the end of our time. That'll have to be our last question. First, I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule today. Second, Lauren and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the public at USAID, IRS, EPA, and all the other organizations that you've worked at.
Well, thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed this and thank you. I mean, it's the support of many, many different contractors that help us deliver what we're delivering to the American people. And we appreciate that and we rely on that. So we don't just do it alone. And anyone who's even remotely interested in coming on for a career in the federal government, I would recommend USAID. It's been a great place to work. We have a website, USAID.gov. You can learn a lot about what we do and where we're located. Take a look.
Great. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Lisa Feely, Chief Financial Officer of the U.S. Agency for International Development. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's fascinating conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.